You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with artist and writer Jenny Odell. Her new book is called How to Do Nothing, Resisting the Attention Economy. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have comments or questions about doing nothing and our guest's prescription for doing that? How do you define productivity in your life? Do you try to step away from those things you see as productive to do something different? Better? Change of pace? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go to your calls now. Paul is with us in Menominee Falls. Paul, hello.
Hi. Thanks for the show. Thanks for taking my call. I'm actually a teacher. This year I'm teaching online and I've taught for decades and I've watched, schools are... one of the main perpetrators of making kids, getting kids digitally addicted these days. We don't think of it that way, but they do, with assigning more and more online work. And so as a family, we are trying to de-digitize and, just doing a lot of things that people, are available to you. Anything from landscaping, lawn work, to going to the gym. We offer bike rides, we walk, read books, hang out. So just trying to, minimize our digital footprint as much as possible, which is hard, and the schools are just pushing it on kids more and more. So thanks for the great show. Appreciate it quite a bit.
Paul, thanks a lot for calling in. Jenny, I've heard people talk about the idea of a digital fasting or a digital Sabbath. What do you think of what Paul's talking about?
I mean, I think it really highlights the importance of having other people do something like that with you. I think so much of getting caught up in something like the attention economy is not just the ways that they're designed to keep you on there, but also the fact that everyone around you is doing it. And so I think something like, a family or a group of friends that has all kind of agreed to maybe try to not spend as much time, say, on their phone is really important. I also think that there's, a lot of use in something like, I think in the book, I'm a little bit skeptical of the idea of digital detox as a kind of like corporate retreat often. I think that there's a lot to be said for even just short periods of time, even just going for a walk, say, without your phone, just like whatever sort of interruption you can get. I think that with the attention economy, as with anything else, stepping outside of the situation is really important for getting perspective on it. And I think it's also important to acknowledge that it's something that you will have to renegotiate, maybe forever. It's something that you have to keep coming back to every day. It's not something that's going to get figured out once and for all.
Thanks a lot for the call. We'll go now to Brad in Glendale. Brad, hi.
Yes, for some years I've been doing where I do nothing every day. And I noticed that my cat Grover would sit in the bay window right in front of our kitchen table. And he would just be staring out there, obviously looking for like a bird or something else. And I would start staring with him. And so now I will spend, not every day, but most days, I'll spend 15 or 20 minutes, and I'm just staring out the window, and I'll just see what I can see. And I'll see, you'll be surprised, as Yogi Bear says, you'll be surprised what you can see if you start looking. And, my wife will say, what are you doing? I says, I'm just grovering. I'm here with Grover, my cat, we're just grovering, and we'll just sit there. And I see all sorts of little wildlife, and it's like, this is delightful. It's kind of like a form of meditation. And I find myself, I'm relaxed now, and I'll go to work or I'll, whatever I have to do.
Brad, thank you so much for sharing that. I love that. I feel like I'm probably not alone here, Jenny, would have a hard time having the patience to do something like grovering in this case. How do we get ourselves out of the, I got to be doing something, got to be paying attention mode, to that, hey, I'm okay staring out a window for 10 minutes?
I think actually the fact that in this case there's a cat involved is really a really important detail. I think watching and spending time with animals is actually, it makes it very easy, in my opinion. I was actually just asking my studio mate yesterday. I've become curious about what people's morning routines are right when they wake up, because I think, a lot of people, and I, honestly, sometimes I do this, you just reach for your phone right when you wake up, which is sort of horrible, right? So I've been asking around, and I asked her what she did, and she said, the first thing she does is, you know, make coffee and play with her cat. And that's, you know, that's it. That's the beginning of her day. And I was like, wow, that sounds so great. And I guess I sit on my balcony and I watch the crows. Like today I was watching this crow doing this like series of crow stretches that I didn't know that they do. And just kind of looking at the crow, looking at other things. I don't know. There's something about like spending time with another form of life that is also observing things that I think actually is quite inviting. I think makes it easier to kind of step outside of your own feeling of needing to accomplish something. I think also I'm reminded of this cat that lives in the rose garden. Well, it doesn't live in the rose garden, but it lives nearby and it spends a lot of time in the rose garden, and everyone there knows this cat. And I saw it one time just kind of staring into the bushes. Clearly it was waiting for, you know, something. It was going to pounce. And I just stood there with it. And I also listened, and I found that I was able to kind of like hear really small rustlings that I maybe wouldn't otherwise be able to hear. It was like, I was sort of like, the cat was teaching me how to listen to in a cat way, you know? And so really, I think, spending time around or just observing animals makes it a lot easier than you would think.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Jenny O'Dell about her new book, How to Do Nothing, Resisting the Attention Economy. It's right there in the title, Resisting. You are hoping, this is kind of a call to action here. What is your call to action for people to resist the attention economy and everything that comes with it?
I sort of want this, you know, on the one hand, for the individual to have permission to, you know, rest and reflect and recognize the parts of life that are meaningful that can't be, you know, say represented online or represented in a tweet or can't be made into anything, to just simply recognize that. And then on the kind of, you know, next level from that, I kind of propose that if more individuals were able to do that and to recognize that, that we might take some of the energy that we spend you know, in this obsession with the cult of productivity, not so much shouting into the void, but more kind of saying the things that we need to say to the people that we need to say them to, that it might lead to a kind of more focused form of communication, and reflection and things like, seeking context, which takes a lot of time and patience and is not necessarily encouraged by something like social media. So I do think that, you know, ideally it could also have an effect, on the level of say like a community or a movement or something like that. But, you know, really the book is coming from my individual point of view and addressed to an individual, and it's very open-ended. It's not a self-help book. there's a lot of food for thought, but it's sort of up to the reader what they end up doing with it. It's more that I'm sort of trying to clear the grounds or create conditions for a certain type of thought.
You do write about movements, individuals, groups who have tried to withdraw in one way or the other, whether that's a back-to-the-land commune or what have you. It doesn't feel like that's where you want to go. You're looking for not stopping connections, but finding better connections with each other.
Yeah, exactly. There's a reason that chapter about the communes in the 60s comes after my first chapter, in which I kind of describe the crisis that I at least was having, particularly in late 2016. And the reason that chapter comes next is it's kind of like me blocking the exits. Like, you just read about this, you know, you have this feeling of wanting to kind of throw your phone out the window and move to the woods. And then I'm sort of like, okay, let's look at the equivalent of something like that. And where does that actually lead? And so I end up sort of coming back around to this idea of still participating, but participating in a different way, and not asking, you know, whether to participate, but how, in a way that is more meaningful, that doesn't sort of drive you insane. And if that means, you know, stepping away now and then, even just conceptually, if you can't actually, you know, get out of a situation, conceptually trying to remove oneself or get a different perspective, but then come back and use that perspective in the world to do the things that need to be done. That's kind of the balance that I'm trying to strike.
do you, after thinking about this a lot and now talking about it and writing about it a lot, do you now find it easy to take these times to do nothing? Or do you, even you, after going through all this, still feel that pressure that you should be doing something else?
I still definitely feel the pressure. I think if anything has resulted from writing the book, I recognize the extent to which things are designed to make that difficult for me. And I also have a deeper appreciation for, you know, for doing nothing. I mean, I am always blown away by, you know, periods of time where I haven't, you know, gone on any long walks or done any of the things that I would normally like to do. And then I sort of mysteriously become miserable without thinking about why. And then, you know, and then finally I'll go on, say, like a several hour walk and feel like, you know, I can actually think and breathe again. I mean, it's really like I can't even describe the difference. And so I think I've just become more aware of the importance and how much is arrayed against me in my seeking those activities.
It's a good place to leave it. Jenny, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Jenny Odell, artist and writer who teaches at Stanford University. Her new book is called How to Do Nothing: Resisting the Attention Economy.